A stands for Alcoa, and it's first on the list.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hi, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Let's get started and ask, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. We've got the S&P up about 0.2%, NASDAQ up just a fraction of a percent. The Dow higher now by 10 points at 10,627. European shares are up about 0.5% on average. And a big rebound in Chinese exports last month pushed Asian markets ahead today under 1%. China, by the way, surpassed Germany as the world's biggest exporter and also surpassed the United States as the world's largest auto market. Well, as I mentioned, earnings season starts today, and analysts are expecting the aluminum company Alcoa to report fourth quarter earnings in positive territory. Sam Stovall is chief investment strategist at S&P Equity Research. He's with us live this morning from New York. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
So what do you think we're going to see with all these earnings coming out?
Well, I think it has to be a lot better than what we experienced last year, which was the first loss in history for the S&P 500, where basically, on average, the companies within this 500-company benchmark posted an aggregate decline of 10 cents last year, but should earn more than $16 this quarter.
And I mean, are we talking about comparisons year over year? I mean, so in dollar figures, it looks like that things are going to look up.
Absolutely. You can't do a percent change. If you tried, my math teacher would take away the C minus he gave me back in high school because you're dividing by a negative number. But certainly in terms of what the aggregate number is, it's looking a lot healthier this quarter. We think that quarter by quarter into 2010, things will continue to improve.
Will any industry group inside that S&P 500 not show any dramatic turnaround year over year, Sam?
Yes, I was puzzled to find out that the industrials group, which is comprised of transportation, manufacturing, machinery companies, is likely to show a year-over-year decline. So earnings will actually be less this quarter than they were last year, probably because of higher energy prices, but also because they peaked a little bit later than the other sectors.
And quickly, Sam, the financials, I mean, how do you think they're going to do? Were there questions about the health of their balance sheets, do you think?
I believe that their questions will linger. Typically, bankruptcies, foreclosures, et cetera, tend to last a good year after the recession has ended. But they, too, will probably show better results than a year ago.
All right. Sam Stovall from S&P. Sam, thanks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. The North American International Auto Show gets kicked off today in Detroit. A lot of small, fuel-efficient cars in the spotlight. In the meantime, the White House will unveil plans to make cars and trucks even more fuel-efficient. Marketplace's Sam Eaton was with us live in our Los Angeles studio to tell us all about it. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Steve.
So what does the White House have in mind?
Well, it's chosen 9 projects together totaling about $200 million in new funding. Several are aimed at improving the fuel economy of cars, but the significant thing here is that most of the money is going to companies that build 18-wheeler trucks. Daimler Trucks in Portland, Oregon, for example, landed about $40 million to develop better aerodynamics and hybridization for those long-haul semi-trucks. I talked to David Friedman with the Union of Concerned Scientists, and he says the trucking industry hasn't done much to improve the efficiency of its vehicles, so even small amounts of money here can yield huge results.
With this money, I think we have a better chance of boosting the fuel economy of 18-wheelers by 40-50% over the next decade and saving consumers tens of billions of dollars.
Now, those savings, of course, coming from less fuel being used to ship the products that we buy.
Yeah. So how important is the timing, Sam, of this announcement?
Well, on the one hand, you have the Detroit Auto Show starting today, as you mentioned. And there you're going to see just how much the industry is becoming focused on improving the fuel economy of the cars that are being offered. But you've also got continued high levels of unemployment, and this despite the massive federal stimulus effort. And that puts incredible pressure on the White House. These projects, funded through a combination of stimulus money and private investments, are expected to create more than 6,000 new jobs. Not exactly earth-shattering, but in these times, at least it's something.
All right. Marketplace's Sam Eaton with us here in the studio. Sam, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And, of course, the Detroit show is still considered one of the most important in the business and a good way to see what's happening in the industry. Early reports suggest we can expect, as I mentioned, a lot of small fuel-efficient vehicles, a whole new focus on cars that actually run on alternative fuel sources. And as Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us, maybe even a little bit of optimism about the industry as a whole.
Last year, only 50 car makers came to the Detroit Auto Show. This year, there are 61. Not bad, considering how many car companies don't exist anymore. John Casessa is an auto analyst in New York. He says the Detroit show is a good barometer of the business.
My guess is that it will reflect the following: a very cautious optimism that the worst is over for the industry and specifically for the Detroit companies.
The show is a chance to check out the latest in car fashion. Here's a hint. For the first time this year, there's a whole section called Electric Avenue. Casessa says it's also a chance for the home team, GM, Chrysler, and Ford, to show they're still contenders.
They need to shift the conversation from financial problems, restructuring, the labor issues, and remind potential consumers that they can make good cars.
But it's hard to shift the conversation from money when nobody has any. In the good old days, the highlight of the Detroit show was an extravagant charity gala. Car makers and suppliers and other companies would buy up big blocks of tickets for their employees. Doug Fox is chairman of the show. He says that's not happening anymore because companies just don't have that kind of money.
Anything that's considered to be non-essential has been eliminated. It's a circle the wagons mentality.
He says they've cut the price of tickets almost in half this year to encourage people to buy. Sales are still slow, but it's better than last year when they couldn't give the tickets away. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Monday, January 11th, 2010, at marketplace.org. The Dutch brewing company Heineken is buying the second largest beer maker in Mexico, FEMSA, in a deal worth more than $7.5 billion. More from Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard.
The two companies do seem to fit together. Heineken already distributes FEMSA beers in the United States. The deal will give Heineken a leading position in the Mexican market. Holly Waring is with JustDrinks.com. He says buying FEMSA is a good move for the Dutch brewer.
Heineken is also very quiet in Mexico, which is a large beer market. It's in the top five for sure. So it does make sense for Heineken to get into bed with FEMSA, bearing in mind that they work together already in the US.
The markets had been expecting SAB Miller to win the bidding for FEMSA, but in the end, Miller got cold feet over the price and pulled out. Heineken says the deal could cut its costs, eventually saving it more than $220 million a year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Supreme Court is likely to issue a ruling this week on a lawsuit to keep an invasive fish out of the Great Lakes. Now, several states, led by Michigan, want Illinois to close canal locks to block the voracious Asian carp. But Illinois, backed by the federal government, argues that closing those locks would also block commerce. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
States around the Great Lakes are bracing for an invasion of monster fish that can grow to be 4 feet long and weigh 100 pounds.
They breed like mosquitoes and they eat like hogs.
Andy Buxbaum directs the Great Lakes Office of the National Wildlife Federation. He supports Michigan's lawsuit to force Illinois to close a series of canal locks to keep Asian carp from threatening fishing and tourism on the Great Lakes. But Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan says those locks handle $16 billion worth of cargo every year.
Petroleum products, agricultural products, coal, road salt, steel, cement, home heating oil, things that are vital to the running of our economy, certainly of our city and our state.
Besides, she says, the locks were never designed to block fish, and closing them may not work. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
In a lot of industries, brand names rule. Cars, clothes, even ketchup. But it's a tougher job to earn name recognition for, say, sandwich meat. Boar's Head has built a billion-dollar business in large part by signing exclusive deli deals to market their meats. That includes signs, posters, the marketing works. Now the marketing war is getting ugly. Reporter Alex Goldmark investigates this big battle of the bologna.
There's only one way to order cold cuts here on 80th and York in Manhattan.
Thin, thinly sliced.
Very thin. That's the only way.
Portatella and prosciutto. It has to be sliced
thin.
Deli meats are serious business here at D'Agostino Supermarkets in New York. So fourth-generation owner Nick D'Agostino thought carefully when he decided not to go with Boar's Head.
We have one prominent brand of deli meats. We carry Dietz and Watson, and we chose that because it's a good family company. They're based out of Philadelphia, and so they're local to us.
That mom-and-pop angle is exactly what Dietz and Watson has been pushing hard since the summer as part of a Freedom of Choice campaign to get supermarkets to drop their exclusive Boar's Head deals. And competition is heating up. One distributor in upstate New York left this message on a Dietz and Watson voicemail.
Hey, Dietz and Watson, I dare you to come up here with your product. I'm a Boar's Head guy. You bring your little circus up here, I'll bury you guys.
Boar's Head's headquarters in Florida declined to comment, and the independent distributor in New York that left the message, according to caller ID, told me they don't know anything about it, and the owner there is a mellow person who wouldn't do something like that. Either way, Dietz and Watson saw a marketing opportunity and jumped. Here's the editor of Daily Business Magazine, Jim Prevor.
I do think that that kind of bullying plays right into the hands of Dietz and Watson,
who are trying to paint their competition as a corporate giant more than twice their size, throwing their muscle around and preventing diversity at the deli counter. But Prevor says that might not be enough to get supermarkets to make a change.
Now, the problem with all this issue is that it's hard to motivate consumers to really, you know, man the ramparts and fight to the death for the brand of salami they can buy in the deli.
And most customers are happy with Boar's Head. Well, as long as it's thinly sliced.
Half a pound of sweet supersod, sliced very thin. If you go over, that's fine. It's bad, but I don't care.
Anything else?
In New York, at the deli counter, I'm Alex Goldmark for Marketplace.
The latest in the healthcare back and forth has President Obama meeting with union leaders today. He's going to try and convince them to support a tax on so-called Cadillac healthcare plans. A lot at stake, of course, as Marketplace healthcare reporter Gregory Warner tells us in this report.
Bill George is president of the Pennsylvania chapter of the AFL-CIO and a 50-year union veteran. He helped negotiate some of the big healthcare plans for Bethlehem Steel.
Some people got a Cadillac plan. God bless them. We're proud they were able to. And let me tell you, they're paying for that out of their productivity.
And out of their wages. Across the country, unions have given up wage increases in return for better benefits, sometimes really good benefits.
Yeah, Cadillac plan for my employees here, they don't have any co-pays. They got dental, they got full hospitalization, doctors, etc.
They're called Cadillac plans because the premiums paid by workers and their employers total at least $23,000 per family per year. That category includes a lot of union plans with very low deductibles and excellent benefits.
We don't want to have systems in place that encourage people to use too much health care.
Jonathan Skinner is a health economist at Dartmouth. He says the goal of the Senate-proposed tax is really twofold, to raise money to cover the uninsured and...
You want the tax to change people's behavior, and not just the consumers, but also the insurance companies that provide this kind of coverage.
Skinner predicts that insurance companies will strip benefits and squeeze providers to avoid paying the tax, which also means the government will collect less revenue. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Hey, check us out online. We have a podcast there. You can share your thoughts, too, at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.